You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Brooke Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, September 15th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Also, welcome to all you non-toking lovers of liberty who help us here at 420 Radio and the Russ Melville Show to expose the growing truth behind marijuana legalization. We're all about the truth, the facts, reason, logic, science, compassion, and evidence here on the Russ Melville Show, and we'll give you all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars with your friends and coworkers discussing the inevitable re-legalization of marijuana in this great country of ours. We have had such a fabulous week here at the Russ Melville Show, and I got to start by opening up and thanking so many of our fans out there who stand for truth, who stand for free and fair elections and transparency in our government. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show, give you an update on the Oregon marijuana election shenanigans. If you've been following my writing at High Times, Huffington Post, and the Weed Blog, you know that officials here in the state of Oregon are trying to use federal drug grant money to campaign illegally against our marijuana legalization initiative, Measure 91. We're exposing those shenanigans. Thanks to your help. This weekend, y'all donated over $2,000 for open records requests. We're going to give you the details on where those requests are going and what results we've had so far. Also on the show today, we are going to be bringing you highlights from this weekend's International Cannabis Business Conference that was held at the Oregon Convention Center. I was there. Andrew Sullivan, the conservative commentator, was there. In an hour or two, we're going to play his keynote address. My speech on Oregon legalization and the sound bites you need to promote it will be at the end of the show in the Radical Rant section. Also today, we visit again with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our marijuana Q&A segment. He's going to answer your live questions on the cannabis science, culture, history, and health. So get your questions ready in our chat room or dial up live at 971-533-7111. We've also got a couple of vendors that are involved in the software industry in marijuana. One in hour one, Raja Africa will talk to us. And in hour two, David Garcia Diaz will talk to us about marijuana business software. So stay tuned for that. But we begin with the 420 Radio news. And in the headlines today, we've got new revenues from Washington State. The new figures for their tax revenues for August are in. New York State Senator Liz Krueger wants to legalize marijuana, as does the police chief in Madison, Wisconsin. Iowa State University Normal is suing over censorship of their chapter t-shirts at the university. And is the smell of marijuana on a kindergartner enough to get a search warrant? We will find out from a case that's going on in Michigan right now. It's the Russ Melville Show on 420radio.org. Thanks for your support. Be right back with the news after this.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
Weed Porn Daily with Oscar Diaz from Florida, replaying Mondays at 12 Pacific on.
Hi, I'm Richard Harris. I'm the former director of addictions and mental health for the state of Oregon. Drug treatment and prevention are woefully underfunded right now. Measure 91 will better fund drug treatment and prevention programs. Marijuana isn't going anywhere. We're not stopping it with the war on drugs. You have to remember that marijuana is a pretty benign drug. It doesn't have the usual dependency features of, say, heroin or alcohol abuse. Now, marijuana feeds drug cartels and fuels violence. We can crack down on that. Take the money from drug cartels and, by the law, spend it on law enforcement, treatment, and education. Criminalizing marijuana is just no way to solve the problem. That's why treatment people like me are supporting Measure 91.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 15th, 2014. Washington state marijuana tax revenues doubled in the month of August. Legal pot shops have now sold $12.1 million worth of marijuana since July 8th, when the first of about a dozen recreational stores opened their doors. In that first, albeit shortened, month of July, Washington State's Liquor Control Board registered $805,000 in tax revenues, while revenues in August were $1.75 million, as now more than 50 stores have opened. Supply is also increasing, as more than 200 licensed growers have finally filled the state's 2 million square foot growing cap. Sales of marijuana topped $6.9 million in August and are on pace to top $7.1 million in September, leading to another $1.8 million in taxes. Marijuana legalization opponent Kevin Sabet often points out that historically, alcohol and tobacco cost $10 for every dollar of tax revenue, but he is silent on the costs of currently legalized marijuana. Reacting to the recent passage of a historic medical marijuana bill in Albany, New York Senator Liz Krueger will introduce a bill to legalize recreational marijuana in New York. The Manhattan Democrat explained that her bill would be modeled after the legalization in Washington and Colorado. Political realignment may mean a Democrat-controlled Assembly and Senate next year, giving Senator Krueger hope that legalization can move forward. She said, quote, "I knew we needed to move medical marijuana into law before people would focus on the bigger question, tax and regulation. So I think my legislative proposal fits in very nicely with what the state has already committed to move forward with. I see more hope in a Democratic majority for pieces of legislation that weren't going anywhere." End quote. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was very reluctant to sign medical marijuana legislation until advocates gave up a patient's right to acquire raw cannabis, so he may remain as a roadblock to legalization. The police chief in Madison, Wisconsin, says the prohibition of marijuana is a, quote, "abject failure," end quote, and called for its legalization, taxation, and regulation similar to Colorado and Washington. Police Chief Mike Covold told the Wisconsin State Journal, quote, "We've done such an abysmal job using marijuana as a centerpiece of drug enforcement that it's time to reorder and triage the necessities of what's more important now," end quote. Chief Koval proposed that the state should focus more on the, quote, "infinite amount of challenges," end quote, posed by drugs such as heroin. He also added that the revenues from the regulation and taxation of marijuana could then be used to fund drug treatment and drug courts for people with true drug addiction problems, thereby lessening those hard drugs' impact on the criminal justice system. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Education has filed a lawsuit on behalf of the members of Iowa State University's Normal Chapter. Those students allege the university violated their constitutional rights to free speech by censoring their chapter's t-shirts. A first t-shirt used the Cy the Cardinal school mascot logo, prompting university officials to ban the shirts after legislators complained it appeared as though ISU endorsed marijuana legalization. Citing trademark infringement, the university denies the student denies that the students have any right to use the logo. After logo use was banned in 2012, the group's 2013 shirts only featured the Normal logo, a cannabis leaf, and the initials ISU, which the university still considers a trademark infringement worthy of censorship. The smell of marijuana on a six-year-old is not evidence enough to justify a search warrant for marijuana, according to the defense attorneys for a Michigan man caught growing over 200 plants. When Randall Fayek's daughter attended kindergarten, a teacher noticed her clothes smelled of marijuana. When asked about it, the little girl allegedly said her father, a card-holding medical marijuana patient, quote, was growing marijuana in the basement of their residence and that she was not supposed to tell anyone, end quote. Police got a warrant, but Fayek's attorney argues that the smell of pot alone isn't probable cause to suspect a cardholder was breaking the law. Quote, the mere allegations that the kindergarten-age child smelled like marijuana and that Mr. Fayek's home smelled like marijuana is insufficient for the magistrate to issue a search warrant, end quote, the defense wrote. They continued, quote, the officers had no reason to suspect that the quantity of marijuana was more than allowed, end quote, under Michigan's medical marijuana law. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 15th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit mjba.net to join today. That's
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
My computer was spicing up my dinner. I use weed, not barley, because I'm an active member of the Teapot Party. And we not sorry for backing it up, so you can keep attacking, harassing, and shackling us. But you know what gives me the most fanatical rush? Ganja, John Cannabis, carrying radical rush.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like getting a shout out in a rap tune. I'm Radical Russ Belville here with your coverage of the Where are we today? There's so many events that I've done. Of course, this is the International Cannabis Business Conference at the Convention Center here in Portland, Oregon. Folks are just starting to stream in here. It's 8:45 a.m. We're looking forward to the opening sessions. We'll be hearing from Andrew Sullivan, the conservative blogger and commentator you've seen on many, many of the morning shows and political talk shows. Also, Congressman Earl Blumenauer, fresh off of his debate performance in Salem, Oregon, against Josh Marquis. He'll be here delivering a keynote speech as well. Plenty of panels and events, lots of vendors here at this convention center. We'll be providing some of the vendor interviews later on today. Vendors, if you want to get your product interviewed here on 420 Radio, we'll be here all day. Just stop on by. We'll get you in. Also, we have plenty of panels coming up. I'll be participating in a panel at 2 o'clock discussing legalization strategies throughout the West. Of course, I'll be focusing on Oregon. All right, stay tuned for our coverage of the International Cannabis Business Conference. Back to the music. Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here with our 420 Radio coverage of the International Cannabis Business Conference. We're on day two, and joining me here at the desk, we have Raja Africa with OMMPOS.
Hello, everybody.
Raja, tell us about OMMPOS.
So OMMPOS is a software system that is built with specifically Oregon dispensaries in mind. You know, this is something that I'm doing because I want to help the industry here stay legal and make their jobs easier. And a lot of the POS systems people are using are built for with other states in mind and don't have our particular statutes.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is something that I'm doing to help.
Okay. So this is a business you've been a part of in other industries then?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've been building software for almost 20 years and, you know, making money for a lot of other industries, doing a lot of good in other industries about which I haven't been nearly close to as passionate as the medical marijuana industry.
Yeah.
So you know, this is sort of an area where I can use my technology powers for good.
The company's OMMPOS, that's Oregon Medical Marijuana Point of Sale.
That's it.
Right? Okay. Yeah, that's it. And OMMPOS.com or also OMMPOS on Twitter. And as you're putting this business together and, you know, being new to the industry and meeting all of these people, what are some of the things that stand out to you about the cannabis industry?
So, you know, the main thing about it is that it exists.
Here.
You know.
Yes.
and it's wonderful. And I love that I can, you know, I'm a OMMP patient.
Okay.
And so just the fact that I can go to the store and, you know, like any other thing that I might need to get for myself or for my health is amazing to me. You know, it's the most most American I've ever felt.
That's wonderful. You know, and one of the things that we hear from opponents sometimes, in fact, I heard Josh Marquis say this in the debate down in Salem the other day, is, I was just in Denver, and they have 300 dispensaries in Denver. Do you want to have 300 dispensaries in Salem, Oregon? I'm like, have you ever been to a dispensary? Almost every dispensary I go to is well-lit and clean and nice floors and art on the walls. I mean, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I agree. I love it.
Yeah, and that's part of what your company is about, is making sure that these guys can have the tracking and the security and the information they need for their point-of-sale systems. So you're out of Salem, Oregon, so we got a local company. We got Local Boy Does Good. As you are moving forward with this and starting to meet some of these people, what sort of needs are you finding in Oregon software systems that are specific to it?
Well, you know, specifically the need to track how much product you have on hand and also the source of that product, the farmer that you got it from, the Oregon testing requirements, needing to be able to like track that. At the end of the day, if the authority shows up at your dispensary, is it easy for you to like pull out your tablet or quickly print out a report to answer all of the questions they're going to have? I want to make that easy for you to do.
Right on. How about integration and scalability? If people have other, you know, like a QuickBooks or something they want to integrate with, or their business gets much, much bigger, are they going to be able to expand the software for extra features?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we have to integrate with QuickBooks because a lot of people are already using QuickBooks, and it already does a lot of what people need. But, you know, dispensaries are finding that there's some extra fields, there's some extra data that they need that, you know, it's not easy to program into QuickBooks. Now, the software is, you know, for your PC, but it's also based in the cloud. So it's infinitely expandable. It's infinitely extensible. And it's made for individuals who are going to have multiple enterprises, multiple dispensaries.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, when people hear cloud now, there's more concern about security. There's been celebrity phone leaks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
what's the security you're dealing with on this?
Well, so, you know, everything is encrypted using HTTPS, you know, 128-bit encryption. When transmitting data over the internet, it's treated exactly like medical records. However, you know, when I was working on this, I imagined that there would be people who don't want to transmit their information over the internet at all. And that's sure. Okay. You know, the backup requirement can also be done to a thumb drive or some sort of like offline resource if, you know, that's a preference.
Okay. So it's Raja Africa. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay. With OMMPOS on Twitter and .com as well. And, of course, we've got Measure 91 on the ballot for full-scale adult legalization. How does that change what you need to do?
Well, you know, I imagine that when we finally have real legalization in Oregon, the needs for information tracking are going to increase. You know, the requirements may possibly get more difficult, and so it's better to get in now with a good system for tracking all of your critical business information.
Right on. And when you're working with someone like Raja here who's been working in many different industries, I think that also is going to give you a perspective on, you know, how other businesses have done things, and you can apply some of the best lessons there to what you're doing.
Absolutely, man. I've built systems for Fortune 500 companies and nonprofits. I've seen a lot in my years doing this.
Excellent. All right, so check it out, OMMPOS.com, Raja Africa. Have a great conference.
Hey, thank you, Russ. Thank you, everybody.
All right, let's go back to some music and enjoy the International Cannabis Business Conference, Day 2. That was one of our many vendor interviews that we did at the ICBC, and if you can see the picture up on the web screen there, it was huge. At least 700, 800 people in attendance.
wonderful event.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Oh, man, I hate it when HAL 9000 is in charge of the dispensary. Fortunately, I was able to make it to the dispensary before HAL 9000 was put in charge. Got myself a vapor pen, a little bit of time to kill. It's 420 in the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 420, Denver. We'll be right back with an Oregon marijuana election shenanigans update after this break. Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. High Times presents Free Weed from Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York. Replaying Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining. Welcome back, everyone. 22 and a half after the hour. And as you know, over the past couple of weeks, we've been doing some drug war data mining on the opponents of Measure 91 here in Oregon, specifically the Clatsop County DA Josh Marquis, but others involved in Oregon's drug prevention task forces who we believe certainly used taxpayer funds in 2012 and likely used taxpayer funds in 2014 to campaign against a state ballot initiative, which is a federal and state no-no. And under state law, they could actually be personally liable for every dime they spent. So we are taking a look at Kevin Sabet and his Oregon marijuana election tour, gathering evidence, flyers, other indica indications, excuse me. Not indica, other indications of their malfeasance. So want to thank everyone out there who has donated to our GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com/FightSabet. We put out the goal of raising $2,000 to pay for the expenses of the Oregon Open Records request. Now, you can file for waivers of those fees in certain circumstances, but we felt with the election, you know, just on our doorstep here, that we didn't want to delay at all. We didn't want to fight over how much it was going to cost and have that delay the results until after the election. So we're going to go ahead and pay for these things because you folks helped donate to us. We raised $2,000 in just one weekend. I'm pretty impressed by that. Thank you, everybody who was involved. Yes, indeed. And, today, I have filed the open records requests for Clatsop County, Jefferson County, Deschutes County, Crook County, and Marion County's district attorneys. I want all their emails, phone records, and internet searches for June, July, August, and September of 2012 and 2014. And also made similar requests for the county prevention staff of those counties who were listed as contacts for these Oregon Marijuana Summit and Tour. So we will get the results of those out to you as quickly as I can. And of course, I have to offer huge, huge thanks to our good friend Jennifer Alexander, who's been a major part of this investigation, digging up a lot of what they've been doing here in this Oregon marijuana election shenanigans. I'll give you a look at the website. This is the marijuana election shenanigans website right now. And as you can see, we've raised $2,000. We've got the picture of Kevin Sabet there at the legislature. He was there in January testifying against this very initiative. And of course, our thanks go out to folks like Randy Quast, who donated $425, Raymond Rogers for $25, Beverly Unk for $10, 50 anonymous, $25 from Jerry Esselman, $50 from Brian Hines, another $25 anonymous donation, $50 from Alex Breen, $150 from Aviv Hadar, $500 anonymous donation, and more donations coming out. Thank you so much for helping out. I couldn't do it without you, folks.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 27 after the hour, and once again, and it's been a while, we get to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from Albany, New York. Dr. Mitch, how are you?
Having a great day. Yourself?
I'm doing excellent. You know, this weekend couldn't have been much better. The Boise State Broncos won, the Green Bay Packers won, and marijuana's winning all across the country, so I'm as happy as could possibly be.
Gotta root for that.
Well, folks, if you're new to the segment, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is an esteemed researcher on marijuana, drugs, and alcohol, and he can answer your questions on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. Our phone lines are open now, live at 971-533-7111, or you can join our chat room at 420radio.org. We always open up by taking a look at the science that's been in the media lately and giving Dr. Mitch the first word. So, Dr. Mitch, what's new?
It's been a while, so there's a lot to discuss, but I think one of the most pressing things, some new data suggests that women might build tolerance more rapidly than men to some of the marijuana effects. I want to emphasize that we see gender differences in a lot of responses to drugs, and of course everybody needs to be careful when they're using cannabis, particularly at high doses, but this isn't something that everybody should get super alarmed about. It's not the kind of thing that has even been extended to humans yet. They're just making quite a big deal out of some research with rats.
I see. So, guys, if you're trying to blame your lack of stash on the fact you just got a girlfriend, this might not be reason enough to blame it.
Sad but true. The data are not on your side. If she is smoking more marijuana than you, odds are against it.
Yeah, maybe. All right. You know, I was wondering also, as I read that study, I noticed they do the testing based on rats' perception of pain. And I'm just thinking, you know, that's not entirely what we're smoking marijuana for, a lot of us. How would you test to see if women are getting higher or not?
It's interesting because you don't really develop tolerance to THC so much as to 2THC's effects. And so, unfortunately, the only way to test how high someone is to ask them. And these subjective ratings tend to show women are a little more sensitive, particularly at first, but it may be partly because it's hard to get the weight-based dose. So men are markedly bigger than women a lot of the times, although the distribution certainly overlap. And so somebody who's just got more body size often isn't getting as much THC per kilogram, so to speak. And so that can also create this illusion that women are more sensitive to the cannabis.
All right. Well, let's go to our chat room where we've got some questions. Runaround 666 would like to know about this CBD-only medicine. And there's been some companies lately that have been touting CBD-only oil produced from industrial hemp versus the CBD oil we know from things like Charlotte's Web, which is a, you know, official cannabis strain. What can you tell us about the difference, and if there is any?
I realize I'm putting myself open for a lot of criticism, but we don't see a lot of strong evidence that laboratory-tested cannabidiol-only gums and oils and things like that are really out there in the market. So I'm afraid this is a situation where the buyer really has to beware. I also note that a lot of the gums and lozenges and things like that have about 10 milligrams of CBD per each dose, and most of the studies on cannabidiol in the lab are using 50. Hmm. So you might end up having to spend 15 bucks or more just to get a dose that's been used in the lab that actually doesn't seem to be psychoactive and may have some health effects, but you won't be able to really know, so you don't know until you've been using it for years and years and have already spent tons of money.
Hmm. All right. Well, we got gonna need more information on that, but I'm a little you know, suspect of this. You know, it sounds too good to be true that, hey, we've got it just from hemp, and so we can ship it anywhere. I don't know about that. We'll keep our eyes open on it. All right, we got another question from our chat room. Roland Reverend would like to know about a recent report we brought up here maybe about a month ago on the effect of smelling pepper or eating peppercorns and how it may relieve the paranoia some people feel from using cannabis.
We're just discovering that black pepper in particular, but also any of the Szechuan peppercorns and things like that, seem to have a lot of impact on not only subjective effects alone, but how we metabolize and how we essentially absorb some other substances. So we're seeing this not only with cannabis, but also with turmeric and some of the other spices and things like that. So we don't have tons and tons of data to point to, but pharmacologically, it makes sense.
All right. A question from Speed Limit in our chat room wants to know if you know of any cannabis-friendly neurosurgeons.
Oh, wow. I really only know one neurosurgeon, and he's about to retire in Kansas City, and Missouri's cannabis laws just aren't where they ought to be for such a thing, so I'm afraid I can't be much help.
Is Dr. Sanjay Gupta a neurosurgeon?
As I recall, he was a neurologist, not a neurosurgeon.
Okay, gotcha.
I could be remembering wrong.
Yeah, and when we're talking about neurology, neurosurgeons, and all of that, you know, cannabis, we're starting to find so many beneficial results from cannabis therapies for things like concussion and brain injury. How well aware are the people in the neurology and neuroscience departments on this fact?
Unfortunately, even the folks who are training in medical school now are not getting a lot of input as far as that stuff is concerned, and the folks who are essentially, you know, 50 and over, who are often the kind of neurosurgeons you want because they've got a ton of experience, unfortunately were trained when cannabis was still, you know, considered a gateway drug and a source of aggression.
Mm. All right. We had a headline that appeared on CNN. This was last week on the 10th. Frequent teen marijuana use linked to issues later than life. And the big takeaway from this was supposedly that teens who use marijuana daily before age 17 are more than 60% less likely to get their high school diploma. I could probably give you Dr. Mitch's answer to this verbatim, but I'll let him go ahead and do it. Dr. Mitch?
I got to admit, you've heard me say this time and again, and it's rather unfortunate we don't really have the data on how these folks were doing in, say, fourth grade. So it's not so much that marijuana causes people to drop out of school, but I think people who are not particularly engaged in school often turn to marijuana. As we've said time and again, marijuana is really not for kids. And, of course, this is no excuse for putting people in jail. Why don't we educate people with informed and reasonable information instead of the curious combination of scare tactics and misinformation that we've used so far, and then I'm sure we could, in fact, improve our public schools and get people more engaged, and then what a surprise, they'd be more likely to finish high school.
Howdy Y'all in our chat room has a question. Is smoking cannabis more likely to relieve chest pain caused by trauma or arterial blockage, or is it likely to be a greater irritant?
The problem with any kind of blockage is that cannabis can be a vasoconstrictor. It can make certain vascular tissues constrict, and so there's probably a better way. I hate to sound like one of those nutty vegans, but the more animal fat you eat, what a surprise, the more those things get clogged.
Another one of the studies that came out while we were away had to do with findings from Massachusetts General Hospital telling us that marijuana is addictive and can cause withdrawal symptoms. They had 127 adolescents between 14 and 19, and 76 were dependent. 36 said they reported withdrawal symptoms. Oh boy, Dr. Mitch, it's that cannabis withdrawal again.
I was kind of sad about this is when you really look at the symptoms. If you told a opiate addict that these were withdrawal symptoms, you'd probably get kicked right in the crotch. You know, modest irritability and nightmares just are not the same as throwing up and muscle spasms and things like that. Of course, nobody wants to see teens get all strung out on cannabis, but a lot of the sample was actually polydrug users, so it's unclear to me that they can say, oh, this withdrawal symptom is from the marijuana and not from the binge drinking I was doing or something like that. But in truth, depression and difficulty sleeping are pretty common in adolescents anyway, so I kind of wish we had a larger sample, a better control group. But the bottom line, again, is how many people need to go to jail because of this? And how does this compare to, say, prescription drugs, binge drinking, things like that, which, of course, have markedly worse withdrawal symptoms? So I'm afraid there may be more smoke than fire here.
All right, folks, if you want to get your question in to Dr. Mitch Erlewine and maybe go in a little more depth, you can get him through email at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. To wrap things up, there was a story in Time magazine, finally, some hard science on medical marijuana for epilepsy patients, and it details a genetic study they're doing of the kids who respond and don't respond to Charlotte's Web for their Dravet syndrome. And that leads to my question, which is, could we eventually find genetic markers that would tell us which strains would be most beneficial for which people, and then maybe eventually have a family strain?
I mean, it's a delightful thought, and I think it's definitely doable. What kind of breaks my heart about this is they really aren't doing the thing that they need to do, which is randomly assigning folks to use Charlotte's Web or not when they have these symptoms. Instead, they're taking folks who already have the symptoms, who've used Charlotte's Web, and seeing who responds and who doesn't. That's certainly a step in the right direction, and it's bound to be helpful, but I don't think this is what's going to convince people to go ahead and repeal medical marijuana prohibitions.
All right. Well, anything we can study, I'm always interested in more study in any way, but it could always be better. And the more we legalize, the more and better studies that we will have on cannabis. Dr. Mitch Erlewine joins us every Monday for our Cannabis Q&A segment. And again, if you weren't able to get your question in this time or you're just a little shy, you can always email at 420research@gmail.com. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great to be back.
Great to have you back. All right. When we come back, we're going to wind up the show, our first hour at least, with a radical rant. It's my presentation at the International Cannabis Business Conference here in Portland, Oregon. A little speech I entitle, Hello, Big Marijuana. It's the Russ Belleville Show. We'll be right back.
Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words "we, the people."
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, we go back to the International Cannabis Business Conference at the Oregon Convention Center. I was on the dais with Brian Vincente, the mayor of Sebastopol, California, and Dominic Corva, representing Colorado, California, and Washington. It was my turn to represent Oregon, and surrounded by all these business heavyweights, I didn't want to pretend that I was any sort of business expert, so I gave him a little dose of what I do every day here on 420radio.org. Enjoy. This is my presentation from Saturday.
For cannabis news, for live cannabis news and entertainment, Russ, you can hear Russ 3 p.m. West Coast time every weekday, and he blogs at radicalrus.com, writes for High Times, even blogs for the International Cannabis Business Conference, which, shameless plug, you can check out at internationalcbc.com. And Russ has been a tireless advocate working to pass Measure 91 and any and all cannabis legalization measure across the country. Here in Oregon, he has especially been holding prohibitionists and reefer madness propagandists feet to the fire whenever they spout such reefer madness or engage in unethical or possibly illegal conduct to campaign against us. Mr. Russ Belville is there, so please give it up for Mr. Russ Belville.
Hello, big marijuana. You know you're all big marijuana, right? Scary, frightening. My name is Russ Belville, and I'm not even going to try to pretend that I'm an expert in business. I'm more a politics, news, analysis, and rhetoric junkie. I want to thank Anthony Johnson and Alex Rogers for having me here, and even just considering me to be on a panel with guys who've achieved far more than I have. But I hope that through my experiences, I can perhaps give you some perspective that will really help you out as we move forward into this new green rush here in the state of Oregon. I open up by saying, hello, big marijuana, because that's what our opponents like to call you. They like to call you big marijuana and try to get people afraid of this new economy and this new legalization that we're talking about. They're trying to compare you to big tobacco and trying to bring people's fears into this. And none of us here have the opportunity to work directly with marijuana until we get Measure 91 passed. So I think it's imperative for those of us in this room that want to turn this into the next big economy here in Oregon to be very, very active in convincing our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, our coworkers, our investors, and so forth to get involved in this politically and to understand what's going to move voters and what's going to get them to want to support us and to want to see this economy take root. Now, I think we start with a great advantage because in this fight, the first couple of jabs have already been landed. Colorado and Washington got their attention. The boxer Mike Tyson once said, "Everybody's got a plan until somebody hits him in the mouth." And that's true. The prohibitionists have had this advantage in the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs for a while now. And that advantage is that legalization was an abstract. Could be anything. It's this cloud. It's this unknown thing. So every campaign that led up for marijuana legalization, and I've been covering this back to 2008. I was at Oaksterdam on election day for Prop 19 in 2010. I was up in Seattle for I-502 and had live network coverage in Denver and other places for 2012. And now working on this 2014 initiative here in Oregon, I've kind of seen some patterns and seen some of the techniques they're trying to use to derail this. And that's what I want to address now, is some of those techniques and how we can rebut them. And the advantage we have now is that legalization is no longer an abstract. Our opponents can no longer say,
if you legalize, bad things will happen.
Now, they still try to say it. But as Rick Steves said, if you know Rick Steves, the PBS travel host, he was at the Seattle Hemp Fest this year, and in his speech, he mentioned how we now have track record. We now have track record. We actually have states that have legalized, that we can point to them. Whenever we get these scare tactics from the opponents, we can point to these states and say, that's just not true. For instance,
if we legalize, more children will use marijuana.
It's not true. In the state of Colorado, they just recently released their youth risk behavior survey, and I don't know if that's what Healthy Kids Colorado, I think they call it, something like that, but same basic statistics. And they found that from 2009 to 2013, we went from 24.8% of high school 11th graders using cannabis monthly to 20%. And 2009 is the date that the prohibitionists always like to point at as the date when Colorado started its medical marijuana dispensary regulation and things really opened up and they had so many more cardholders. Then, of course, in 2012, they legalized marijuana and people could just have an ounce on them and have no worries whatsoever. And then in 2014, they start selling marijuana. And yet, we went from 1 out of 4 kids using pot monthly to 1 out of 5. And simultaneously, while that was going on, if you look at the national numbers from 2009 to 2013, they're just about the opposite. We went from 1 out of 5 kids using pot regularly in the United States as a whole to 1 out of 4. It's increased in the rest of the states. Another thing that the prohibitionists will point out, they'll say, well,
if we legalize, kids will think pot's okay. It'll send the wrong message.
That's just not true. In Colorado, again, there's a couple of questions that have been asked regularly on surveys of kids all throughout the United States. One question is it easy or fairly easy or not easy or difficult to get marijuana? And they found that not only nationwide, but it's for about 30 years now, it's been between 80 and 90% of the kids you survey say it's easy or fairly easy to get their hands on marijuana. In the state of Colorado, those lower numbers went down after legalization. Kids found it harder to get marijuana after legalization. At the same time, those numbers went up in the United States as a whole. And as far as the message, another part the prohibitionists will like to say is that, well,
if you legalize it, they'll think it's okay because they'll think it's not risky anymore.
This is a stat they use called risk perception. Do you find the use of marijuana on a regular basis to be a risky or fairly risky health proposition? They'll ask that of the kids. Kids in Colorado think it's riskier to use marijuana than kids nationwide. And again, those numbers went up in Colorado as they went down in the United States. So the prohibitionists can't use these tactics of the bad things are going to happen when we can point to Colorado or point to Washington and show them that bad things didn't happen. You just poke a little hole in their theater balloon. How about this one?
If we legalize, there will be stoned mayhem on the freeways, blood on the roadways, cars crashing all over the place, stoned drivers behind the wheel.
Just ain't true. First of all, that would be really scary if legalization invented cars and marijuana. But it doesn't. Cars have existed for a century, and marijuana has existed forever. And in the state of Oregon right now, we have 108,000 people aged 21 and older who use marijuana 20 or more days a month. If there was going to be stone mayhem on the freeways, we'd have seen it in Oregon by now. We'd have seen it in Colorado by now. We'd have seen it in California by now. We've had medical marijuana in California since 96. And as the mayor pointed out, a pretty liberal system that allows people pretty ready access to it in a lot of places in the state. Not only have we not seen stone mayhem on the freeway, but in the state of Washington, the rate of fatalities per 100 million miles driven is 0.77. In Colorado, it's 1.01. In Oregon, it's 1.01. In the United States as a whole, it's 1.31. The roads are safer in Colorado, Oregon, and Washington than they are nationwide, and those figures have been dropping at a rate greater than the national figures have been dropping. Now, I'm not saying that legalizing marijuana or medical marijuana necessarily makes the roads safer. Cars have gotten safer. Roads have gotten safer. We've changed speed limits. We have more patrols. We have airbags. There's lots of things that make the roads safer. But it doesn't seem to be making the roads more dangerous, or else we would have seen some spike by now. Another trick of the prohibitionists is to say,
for every dollar that we make in alcohol and tobacco taxes, it costs us $10 in social costs.
I've heard this a lot of times. Kevin Sabet's a big fan of this one. And it's actually a true statistic. We take in about $40 billion in taxes from alcohol and tobacco annually. It costs us about $400 billion in social costs from alcohol and tobacco annually. This indeed would be a very serious statistic if marijuana were alcohol or tobacco. But it ain't. Alcohol and tobacco are toxic and addictive. They cause cancer and cirrhosis. They cause drunk driving and emphysema. They cause death. Cannabis causes appreciation for jazz. And now, I mean, it was already silly enough when they said that prior to legalization and prior to the tax revenues coming in. But the most recent figures I've seen from the fees, licenses, taxes that are coming out of Colorado is they've made so far, year to date, $37.5 million. So where's that $375 million in social costs? I haven't seen it. Crime's down. Tourism's up. 10,000 jobs. In fact, Denver was the third most popular searched for spring break destination among college students this year. It beat like Fort Lauderdale, it beat Daytona Beach, it beat South Padre Island. So, and as Brian pointed out earlier, it's not like the businesses are fleeing Colorado. They're doing fine. Everybody's doing fine. The world hasn't come to an end. So take these kind of statistics and these thoughts that I'm giving you, and the next time you're out there and you hear someone who's poo-pooing the idea of legalization with one of these scare tactics, know that we've got the facts, science, reason, logic, and compassion on our side. And if you don't have a handy statistic, email me. I'll send it to you. I've got reams and reams of this stuff just ready, and this is what I do for a living, is to prepare and analyze this information for you, to help you make this case. You can find me at RadicalRust.com, that's the website. I'm at 420radio.org for my show. We broadcast Monday through Friday, 2 hours of live daily talk radio, analysis, news, information, interviews, a little bit of comedy, tiny bit of music. But get informed and understand it, and I think someone else mentioned this earlier as well, maybe it was Anthony that said it, is that this is a political business. You don't get political, you're not going to have a business. We still haven't legalized this yet. And I'm very hopeful, and I've seen great polling on this that says we've got a really good chance, but we have some things working against us. It is an off-year election, it's 2014. Two things you can say about people aged 18 to 29. Number one, by a 2-to-1 margin, they support marijuana legalization. Number two, they don't vote. Not in midterm elections. One more thing about the children, extra statistic that's very handy on this one, is that they'll try to bring this scare up of
If we legalize it, kids will have more access to it. More kids are going to use it.
And I've already given you a couple on that one, but let me give you just one more. This scare about big tobacco that they try to use, the big marijuana scare, they often say, well, big tobacco lied about its product, and they had to try to addict kids. They marketed to kids, Joe Camel. Well, here's the difference. Tobacco had to lie because its product is toxic and addictive. Hard to sell a product that kills you, unless you lie about it a little. And they had to go after kids because an adult who smokes a cigarette for the first time goes, and probably doesn't try it again. But a kid will do it over and over to try to be cool. There's that peer pressure we're looking for. In fact, what we can predict from the legalization of marijuana and the increased access to marijuana is not an increase by teenagers, but an increase by guys my age. Teenagers got all the access they need. They got the kid that's behind the shop class that sells in the parking lot. They got the guy they know at the park. 44% of kids in school these days say they know someone who sells drugs, and 91% of the time, marijuana's on the menu. So they got their access. Guys like me, guys like you, ladies like you, you don't have the access. You don't have a guy, or you can't afford to risk your career and your family and your home and your mortgage and all that stuff getting caught going to the guy. It's our access that's going to go up. It's our numbers that are going to go up, and I can prove it. In 2002, before we had a massive expanse of medical marijuana in this country and greater liberalization of our belief in legalization, in 2002, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health showed that for every 2 monthly tokers aged 12 to 17, there was 1 senior toker aged 50 and older. In 2012, those 2 kids didn't change. Still the same number of kids smoking pot. In fact, it went down by 200,000 in a decade. But now we've got 3 tokers over the age of 50 for every 2 teenage tokers. It's the AARP set that are going to be the new consumers of marijuana when they realize it can replace the Ambien, the Tylenol, the Viagra, and the Zinfandel they've been using. So thank you for being the entrepreneurial engine that's going to make this happen. Dollars talk. I really wish we were legalizing because people realized it was an abomination to lock people in a cage over a plant. But if money's going to get them to change their mind, great. Fantastic. Thanks for doing what you do. I'm Radical Russ. Talk to you later.
So there you go, my speech at the International Cannabis Business Conference. And I got to say, folks, of all the many, many, many presentations I've done in my career, I am probably the most proud of this one. And ironically enough, it was just me talking off the top of my head. I don't want to sound bragging or anything, but I literally just did a segment. I just said, you know, this time I'm not going to prepare slides. I'm not going to try to make an outline of any sort of speech. I'm going to speak from the heart and just see what happens. And wow, I'm pretty happy with it. I'm pretty happy. And so were a lot of people at the event who on both days came up to me and offered me many, many compliments. I appreciate them all. Thank you for paying attention. Thank you for listening. And thank you to the audience who've supported me for 6 years now, speaking solely about marijuana, marijuana legalization, the politics of reform, and so on. I had people coming up to me saying, so this is what you do? Yes, this is my job. This is what I do. And it's more than a job. It's a mission. To quote Dan Aykroyd, we're on a mission from God. That's how I feel. This is my crusade, man. This is what I've got to do. We've got to free the people who use this plant. It's going to be beneficial for us in so many ways. And you've heard all these years me talk about all the ways this is going to help us. Your financial contributions, your continued listenership, promoting me on your web pages, embedding, sharing, putting out the MP3s, podcasts. Man, it's times like this where it really feels like it's all worth it, man. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for the support. I'll keep doing it if you'll keep having me. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you're planning, you're growing, you're dying, you're